Welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church in Duncanville, Texas. Today, our music director, Wesley McCall, begins a new sermon series on stories associated with Jesus, antidotes and anecdotes. Today, we look at one of the miracle stories of Jesus. Join us now for the message, Through the Roof. Good morning and welcome to worship here at Trinity United Methodist Church in Duncanville, Texas. I'm Jane Grainer and I'm the senior pastor.
And I'm Wesley McCall and I'm the music director.
And we're going to switch things up today. Later on in our service, Wesley will be delivering us our message with his new sermon series entitled Antidotes and Anecdotes. You know, sometimes life can get hard, our bodies hurt, our brains are fried. And sometimes the frustration can just send us through the roof. So stay tuned so Wesley can tell us about a group of friends who wouldn't let anything keep them from getting to Jesus. We continue to want to celebrate Pride Month here for the month of June, and also to remind you that this coming Saturday will be June 19th, and we'll be lifting up some prayers about that later on during the prayer portion of our service. And speaking of our prayer portion of our service, if you have a joy or a concern, or you'd like to have a blessing, then just post it there in the Facebook feed, and we'll lift up that joy, concern, or blessing later on during the service. And now, if you have not already done so sometime this week, I would invite you to make an offering to the ministry of this church so we can keep these wonderful lights on. You can do that through either mailing a check to the church, through our website, tumcd.org, or through our Church Center app, and that would be much appreciated. We also are still taking donations for our June Communion Rail offering. It goes to the Wesley Rankin Community Center. That's a center, United Methodist Center in West Dallas, that offers education, health, and employment skills to the residents there for children and youth and adults. And I would like to at least encourage you still, if you haven't done so already, to get on amplifymedia.com. We have a subscription now as a congregation, and I really encourage you to get on Amplify Media. And by the way, if you want to give to the Wesley Rankin Center, you can do that also by mailing a check to the church, or through our website, but through our Church Center app. We have three connection groups that meet during the week. Two of them meet at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. We have our connection group on the UM disciplines via Skype. And we also have our LIFT class that meets via Zoom. And next week, they're going to be starting a brand new study. It'll be on Adam Hamilton's book entitled Christianity's Family Tree, What Other Christians Believe and Why. And Evelyn Glass will be leading that, and you can contact her if you want more information. And that'll continue for 6 weeks on to July 26th. And it's going to be in conjunction with my next sermon series, which is also going to be entitled Christianity's Family Tree. And now let us enter into a spirit of worship and prayer with this centering psalm. Psalm 41. Happy are those who consider the poor. The Lord delivers them in the day of trouble. The Lord protects them and keeps them alive. They're called happy in the land. You do not give them up to the will of their enemies. The Lord sustains them on their sickbed. In their illness, you heal all their infirmities. As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me, heal me, for I have sinned against you. But you, O Lord, be gracious to me and raise me up, that I may repay them. By this I know that you are pleased with me, because my enemy has not triumphed over me. But you have upheld me because of my integrity and set me in your presence forever. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. Now, please join us for our opening prayer. God of wondrous love, your miracles catch us by surprise. When our bodies are touched by your healing grace, may we bow before your throne of glory. Come to us now as we gather to worship, that we might be touched by your spirit and made whole by your grace. Amen. And now, even though we cannot be together in the same space, we're together in the same time. So my prayer for you is peace be with you. And now will you join me in our prayer for illumination? Holy God, author of the Word made flesh, open us to your Holy Spirit, that as Scripture is spoken and your Word is proclaimed, we may be comforted, convinced, and changed to the glory of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Our Scripture reading is from the Gospel of Mark. We're in chapter 2, and we'll be beginning with verse 1. When Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many gathered around there that there was no room for them, not even in front of the door, and he was speaking the word to them. Then some people came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak in this way? It's blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" At once Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves, and he said to them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up and take your mat and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go to your home." And he stood up and immediately took the mat and went out before all of them, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." This is the word of God for the people of God. And thanks be to God.
Well, I've really done it this time. You see, I was bold enough, or perhaps dumb enough, to ask Jane for a homework assignment. And my goodness, have I been given one. When Jane approached me with the idea of doing a sermon series in June, I was excited about the possibilities, but I really had no idea where to begin. You see, the Bible is huge, and there are so many things that you can do. Through examining the book of Genesis in our Wednesday night Bible study classes, I was introduced to a term with which I was not previously familiar. The term is exegesis. Now, I could rattle off the gazillion definitions of exegesis that I have encountered through my research, but The simplest one is this. Exegesis is a critical explanation or interpretation of a text, especially of Scripture. Well, Jane read to you a moment ago Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, and as you heard, it is the story of Jesus healing a paralyzed man who was lowered through the roof by his friends. This account is the fifth of 10 recorded incidents in the Gospel of Mark alone, telling of Jesus healing a person from their disease, whereby demonstrating the very real and powerful presence of God. Furthermore, parallel accounts of this miracle are also recorded in Matthew chapter 9 and Luke chapter 5. So the story is important enough that three of the four gospel writers felt that it should be included in their accounts of the life and work of Jesus. So it is fair to say, therefore, that I have never been challenged in preparation for a sermon quite like this. So, some context. At the time of this particular miracle, Jesus was at the beginning of his public ministry. The early chapters of the Gospel of Mark highlight many instances of Jesus preaching and teaching and healing. Jesus had, for lack of a better word, relocated to the town of Capernaum, which can be found on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee. Now, this location is very important. You see, Capernaum was a prosperous town. It was an international crossroads of trade and commerce, and as such, there were people from all over coming through the town all the time. It's also found near where Jesus would appoint his disciples, where he would feed the 5,000, where he would deliver the Sermon on the Mount, where he would walk on the water, among many other familiar and beloved stories. Those are just a few examples. It was also in this early phase of his ministry that Jesus would begin to attract the attention not only of followers and believers, but also of both the Roman and Jewish authorities. Now, with our busy and hectic schedules, it's probably not difficult to visualize the situation in which Jesus found himself. Mark chapter 2, verse 1 tells us that Jesus had returned to Capernaum after some days away. So we can infer that he probably would have liked a moment to rest. Needless to say, that did not happen. Somehow the word got out that Jesus was back in town. And so the town showed up at his place. They came to his home, and Luke's version of the story even says that people had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and even from Jerusalem. So many gathered there, there was no room in Jesus' home or even in front of the door for more people to fit as he preached to them. The crowd became so large that it was impossible for a group of four men to carry their ill friend to Jesus. So, what did these men do? Well, they did what any of us would do, of course. Mark's account of the story tells us that these men dug a hole through Jesus' roof to lower their friend to him. Now, I won't speak for you, but if someone had just dug a hole through my roof, I would be pretty upset. We get a hailstorm around here, and for weeks on end, you get door-to-door roofing salespeople, which is enough to drive anyone crazy. But that's the difference between Jesus and me. Jesus turned this interruption into a teaching moment. I read a story about the great jazz trumpeter Wynton Marsalis. He was performing at a gig in New York City one night with his band, and while he was soloing during this performance, a cell phone went off in the audience. Now, this could certainly be considered rude and distracting, even though I'm sure it was an accident. But being the consummate professional and insanely talented musician that he is, Wynton Marsalis began to play the ringtone on his trumpet and incorporate it into his performance. Cue Jesus. Now, with a hole in his roof, the first century equivalent of a cell phone going off, Jesus could have become frustrated or angry. But seeing the faith of these men, which is a theme that recurs throughout the Gospels, he decided to help them. He said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, at this proclamation, we're told that the scribes who were present began questioning Jesus in their hearts. Mark chapter 2, verse 7 says that the scribes launched accusations of blasphemy at Jesus. This is important. This is the first time the scribes, who are the experts and the keepers of Jewish law, appear in Mark's gospel. It's also the first time that the charge of blasphemy is leveled at Jesus. And as you know, this is ultimately the crime for which Jesus is sentenced to death. So why would Jesus do this? Why would he do something so controversial in the presence of these lawkeepers? Well, I believe he does this because all good teachers challenge the thinking of their students. It's a goal of mine when I step into my classroom each day that my students and I are challenged by the process of making music together. If we become so set in our ways that we cannot believe without first seeing or hearing, we are creating a barrier between ourselves and Jesus. Mark tells us that Jesus perceived in his spirit that these scribes were questioning him and discussing the forgiveness of this man's sins amongst themselves. After all, who can forgive sins but God alone? It's a valid question. Rather than anger or impatience, Jesus adopts a sense of calm compassion. Why do you raise such questions in your heart? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, stand up and take your mat and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go to your home. And he stood up and immediately took the mat and went out before all of them, so that they were amazed and glorified God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Of course you haven't seen anything like this. That's kind of the point, isn't it? Picture the scenario. A group of followers eager to learn from Jesus himself. A group of skeptical and cynical scribes just waiting for Jesus to mess something up. And a group of friends, desperate for healing for their paralyzed friend, so desperate that they resort to digging a hole through Jesus's roof. I cannot think of a more perfect gotcha scenario with which Jesus is faced, and yet with the expert finesse of a skilled surgeon, Jesus navigates his way through this story and others like it over and over and over again. One study I encountered in my research suggests that up to 85% of illnesses observed by physicians today are directly correlated to psychological attitudes brought on by stress and anxiety. In other words, psychological dis-ease has created physiological disease. Now, how is this relevant? Well, from Jesus's point of view, healing paralysis and forgiving sins accomplish the same therapeutic goal, which is the restoration of humanity. It is well documented throughout the Bible that there was a prevalent belief that many illnesses were caused by living a sinful life. I think of the story at the beginning of John chapter 9, in which Jesus and the disciples encounter a man who was blind from birth. Jesus is asked, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answers, neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We know then that Jesus made mud and spread it over the blind man's eyes, and after he washed them, he could see again. You see, this is the reason why Jesus performed so many miracles. This is why he taught so many lessons. This is why he went against so many people in positions of authority, and why he ultimately paid with his life on our behalf. God's works are revealed often through those whom others have cast aside. I'm willing to bet that many of the followers in Jesus's home were asking the same question about the paralyzed man. Who sinned? What has he done that caused him to be this way? It would have been easy to dismiss the man's illnesses as being a result of a sinful life, but instead, Jesus treats him like any of the rest of us. A human being embraced by, yet separated from, God. The Reverend Reggie Weaver sums it up best for me. He said, if you want to know healing, if you want to know what it is like to be made whole, you must first know forgiveness. True healing will only come to you when you know that you are in right relationship with God and with the world around you. Son, your sins are forgiven. Earlier, I mentioned obstacles. Obstacles, as we have discussed, are another recurring theme found throughout the Gospels, the presence of obstacles separating people from Jesus and the salvation he offers. In the miracle of the paralyzed man, two obstacles are overcome. One of them is very obvious. It's the crowd of people, which is bypassed by the men who dig a hole through Jesus' roof. The other is maybe less obvious, but no less destructive. It is the attitude of the scribes who, at first, regard Jesus' views on forgiveness as blasphemy. This needs some context. Though the scribes are often the subject of ridicule, and deservedly so, it is important to remember their point of view at this time. Their understanding of how God related to people was at stake here. The way they understood it, God is out there somewhere, and the distance between God and people is represented by the Holy of Holies, a place in the temple curtained off from the rest of the world and accessed only once per year by the high priest. Forgiveness, they thought, is a matter of the high priest casting the sins of humanity to God. God is not here until he is. Suddenly, God stands in their midst. He has just healed a paralyzed man and proclaimed his sins forgiven. What would you think? I dug deeply into this passage. I read it many times, and each time I read it, I encountered something new. That makes the task of preaching on it both rewarding and extremely complex. I struggled to find an appropriate and effective way to close out this sermon. In fact, I texted Jane about an hour before the service started and said, you know, I'm really frustrated. I'm struggling to find the right way to finish my thoughts on this. And she told me, just take a deep breath and go with the Holy Spirit. Here we are. There are so many rich and vibrant interpretations of just what Jesus is trying to accomplish in this story. But one of the most valuable, I think, is this. Could Mark be showing us not only Jesus' power to heal, but could Mark also be warning us that if the structures we build do not allow people to access the grace and healing of God, perhaps those structures need to be altered, say, digging a hole in the roof? Think about how that can be applied to life today. We exist in a 21st century world that is still mired in the racism and the bigotry of 50, 100, 200 years ago. We exist in a world where not everyone has access to food or clean water or shelter. And we exist in a world where there are people who are barred from the word of God by those who see the teachings of Jesus as a threat. Those are some serious obstacles. And the question is, how do we overcome them? Whose side are we on? I'm calling this sermon series Antidotes and Anecdotes. It's a two-parter. We examined the antidote, the cure, today. And we'll examine the anecdote next week. Through the stories of miracles and parables, we can gain right relationship with God through the teachings of Jesus. And this is especially relevant after having just been through a 6-week series on how Christianity relates to people and faiths all over the world. This is just the beginning, and I'm grateful to have the opportunity to share this with you. So between now and next week, dig a hole through the roofs of whatever obstacle stands in your way. We've been given a gift, and we have to do whatever we can to access it and share it with others. So we should be like the friends of the paralyzed man, hungry for the healing and forgiveness offered to us through right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, P.S. Jane, did I pass?
Yes, you passed. Very good, Wesley.
Thank you.
And now we come to the portion of our service where we will lift up our prayer concerns to the Lord. When I say, Lord, in your mercy, would you please respond, hear our prayer? And for blessings, I will say, this is the work of the Lord, and you respond, thanks be to God. So we'll start off with a thanks, a thanksgiving to God for Wesley bringing us his great message and having the courage to do that. So I'm very proud of you, Wesley. Good job. So we know that this is the work of the Lord, and therefore thanks be to God. I said earlier that the month of June is Pride Month, so I want us to continue to be praying for the full inclusion of LGBTQ folks in our society and in our church. Speaking about one of the structures that keeps people from getting to Jesus is sometimes the church is part of that structural sin that prevents LGBTQ folks from being able to be in the church and in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And so we want to make sure that we are never part of those structures that keep people away. I also mentioned that this Saturday is Juneteenth. Just a little bit of the history. Some of you probably already know this, most of you, but it was on June 19th in 1865 that Major General Gordon Granger landed in Galveston with the good news that, with the gospel, the good news, that the slaves are now free. And it actually had been free for two and a half years. This was after the Emancipation Proclamation at January 1st, 1863. And so that was good news to the slaves in Texas and good news for all of us that our country was coming out of such a terrible period in our nation's history. So I wanted to offer up this prayer for Juneteenth. Lord God, we acknowledge that racism is still prevalent in our world today. We acknowledge that many of our dear brothers and sisters have suffered due to this divisive spirit. Today, we repent for the harm we have caused others because of the sin of racism. We pray that you will lead our nation as we rebuild ways of thinking, being, and doing that honor and serve all people. Amen. And so we just want to make sure that the church is not part of the structures that's keeping anyone away from being able to get to Jesus. And so we pray going forward that all kinds of bigotry and prejudice and racism and heterosexism and all those other types of isms will be barriers that are broken down in the name of Jesus Christ. So I would say to that, dear Lord, hear our prayer. On a personal level, Pamela Roberts Cook has asked us to keep her friend Melinda in our prayers. Melinda is battling cancer. And I want to add to not only praying for Melinda, but also continuing to pray. I've mentioned before that my oldest sister, Anne, has several friends right now with cancer. And she is actually helping one of her friends get to chemotherapy and back. And so I know that's weighs on her heart. It always weighs on our heart when anyone that we know and love has cancer or any other serious, serious illness. So we would pray for Melinda and all of those who are affected by cancer, either as someone who is sick or someone who is taking care of sick. So Lord, in your mercy, please hear our prayer. And then we have a requested blessing. Rachel Platt starts a new job tomorrow. She's been interviewing for a new job now for the last several weeks. And in our Wednesday night pastor's Bible study, that's at 7 o'clock Wednesday, which I think I forgot to say that earlier. We've been following Rachel's story about interviewing and getting a new job. So Rachel, good job on getting a new job. And so we pray God's blessings upon you in this new endeavor and that you find success and happiness and a sense of purpose in your work. And so we pray that blessing upon you. And we know that you receiving this job is the work of the Lord. So thanks be to God. And so with that, let us, with the confidence of the children of God, pray the prayer that our Lord taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Just a reminder that you can always find a recording of our service on our Facebook page, on our website, tumcd.org, or on our church blog, Jane's Most Excellent Church Adventure. If any of you would like more information about this church or would just like to connect with me, please message us on our Facebook page, and I'll be happy to get back with you. And so I'll leave you with this action item for this week based on Wesley's message. First of all, Don't let anyone else get in between you and God. Sometimes you're going to have to get creative, but don't let anyone else come between you, and don't let anyone else tell you that you're not worthy. And in the meantime, tear down those structures that are barring perhaps you and certainly others from the grace that is afforded us in Jesus Christ. Come back next week. Wesley will be talking about one of Jesus' parables, and we will be celebrating Father's Day. So now receive this benediction. Go now in peace, ready for forgiveness. Go now in peace, ready for miracles. And go now in peace, ready for Christ, who is always walking beside us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now love your neighbor and go in peace. Hope you enjoyed and were blessed by today's service. Join us next Sunday here on Facebook Live at 11 a.m. Our music director, Wesley McCall, will continue our sermon series on the stories of Jesus. If you can't join us live, you can always listen to the recording of our service. You'll find that on our podcast, Jane's Most Excellent Church Adventure. God bless you in the week ahead. We'll see you Sunday at Trinity United Methodist Church.